The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are, back Monday, and it's New Year's week. Interesting, another short week. We'll see what happens. I did get a report today from a friend in Europe who says that there are a lot of people being wholesale slaughtered in Syria now. And I did report this to you a week ago at least, that people are just being mowed down. Liquidated. Anybody who's loyal to the Assad regime, gone. The Assad Syrian military, gone. They're killing these people. They're just literally, well, it's kind of the Middle East wars and countries, and they have a history of doing this. It's not new, but people shouldn't be surprised. You could tell that when a strong governmental leader all of a sudden vacates in the face of harsh terrorism, which is what was really going on there, backed by the U.S., backed by Israel, backed by Turkey, etc., you know there are going to be a lot of people who are just going to be liquidated, and that's what's going on. And maybe all the oceanfront property, remember what they're trying to do in Gaza, the Jewish realtors, they're dividing up the entire coastal property belt all along Gaza into Ocean View home sites. So maybe they're doing the same thing in Syria. And then Trump today, if you caught the story in the headlines, said that he's in favor of Syria being privatized. Yes, you heard me right. Privatized. You know what that means? That means they're going to chop Syria up into 8 or 10 pieces or whatever and sell it off to private industry, governments, whatever. They're literally going to chop Syria into pieces. It'll become part of Greater Israel then, and there'll be an awful lot of dead people and a lot of new owners, and they're going to corporatize it in a whole country. Watch. This is just getting worse and worse. Here's brave little Israel at war in Gaza, paid for by American taxpayers, at war in the West Bank, paid for by American taxpayers, at war in Lebanon and Beirut, paid for by American taxpayers. Ah, they're also at war with Yemen, paid for by American taxpayers. They're also heavily invaded into Syria now, paid for by American taxpayers. Get it? I hope you do. Look, the enemy is clear. It's the same people. And they now own this country. They control it. And there's an excellent piece in headlines. I hope you'll look for it and read about it. It talks about how this entire government that Trump is allegedly reformatting, it's owned by them. It's a Zionist regime already in place here. All right, let's talk to the number one Zionist that I know, Don Jeffries. Oh, no, it's not Don. I'm sorry. Hello,
How
John.
How you doing, Jeff? Yeah, no, it's fun times. You know, it was. I think that I think the biggest story over the last few days has been this rift in between MAGA and the technocrats. You know that mainly Elon Musk, and Elon Musk fooled a lot of people, and I said good things about him just because I said I'm not going to criticize anybody that's standing up for free speech. And it did look like he had loosened that up a little bit on Twitter. Things were a little better, but he went off the rails.
On the H-1B thing,
yeah,
he told Americans,
"You're
too stupid to fill tech jobs.
Yeah,
we have to have H-1B to bring in all the Indian PhDs, etc." Well, he has a point. Frankly, he does. They're not all addicted to their phones like we are. Not all of them.
No, they're not. But what he did is, even if he believed, and nobody's written more about how dumbed down Americans are than I am, and they certainly have become lazy. But if you're part of what you're doing basically is smearing, and that's why he's getting so much blowback. Same thing with Vivek too. Vivek sounds even more ridiculous because he's from India, and it's like he's tried to recruit more people like him. And just the way they said it, just the way they said it is like,
not very diplomatic. Yeah.
No, they basically call a large portion of MAGA, which, they are supposed to be representing, just incredibly stupid. And that they're, but look, I worked in IT, for the last 30 years or whatever it was of my career. And, I saw the gradual takeover in IT. I saw the H-1B visa workers coming in and taking over. And I worked with a lot of them, and, they were nothing special. I didn't see one person anywhere that I said, wow, we don't have anybody like this in America. Nobody else can do this. And, some of them were good. I got along with some of them. Some of them were fine, but you also have to realize, especially when you come from a country like India. It's so funny when you work with these people. They still have a caste system. They believe in the caste system, even though Gandhi, threw off imperialism.
Eight. Tell them how many castes there are. Eight castes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time I counted, and tell them what you're born in a caste. What does that mean? What does that mean?
In terms of the American, if you're working with them, they know, because most places that you work, whether it's a government or private industry, people know where you stand in the pecking order because you typically have a grade. You know, they know what grade you are in terms of, you get a lot, some Americans are that way too. They treat you, like they look down their nose at you if you're too far below them in grades. But the Indians, it's amazing. I mean, they will kiss your butt, and they do anything for you if you're a higher grade than they are. It's ridiculous. But if you're a lower grade, they literally will not say hello to you. The caste system, that caste mentality is really ingrained in this. So it's another feature, that I don't think is a positive feature. But I just look at it like, when they talk about legal versus illegal immigration, I'm one of the few people where I don't really distinguish between legal and illegal immigration. I don't care. We don't need more people. And in fact, you can make an argument that, what good is it to deport 20 million illegals and then bring millions of H-1B foreign visa workers in? And the thing about it is, when you bring the visas working, they're getting better jobs, even though they're working them. I mean, that's their great talent, Jeff. Is that they will come in, and if you're paying a programmer $80,000 to do a job that's been there for 20 years and has great benefits, they'll come in and they'll give them that job for $40,000. That's what their great talent is, and they'll do as good a job. But that's, do we want that? And that's what I say. Same thing with the illegals coming here. They're being exploited. I don't blame them for trying to start a better life, but they're using their presence so they can look at us and say, look at Jose, and he doesn't complain about anything. We just give him $10 in front of Home Depot, and he spends all day on a hot roof, and if he falls off, and his family complains, so we'll turn him into the immigration authorities. That's basically how it works. So I don't think that's what we want, and it didn't used to be that way, but those are lower paying jobs, and they have destroyed a lot of blue collar labor just because their presence here ensures that they can get cheaper labor, and that's what they're doing to displace Americans, part of the Great Replacement. But here you're talking about better jobs, you know, computer programmers, computer analysts, all those jobs. They're good, solid jobs. They're good. They can lead to a, they used to be able to lead to a good middle class life, but not you know, if you're going to again displace them, and they're using the same shame tactics. So Elon Musk, you know, an immigrant himself, he proudly proclaims, you know, the H-1B visa immigrant, and Vivek's parents were, you know, but he was born here. But I mean, to shame Americans again, to say, you know, we don't have this talent. And again, this talent, I wrote about this in my book, Survival of the Richest. I don't think you can quantify executive talent. I talked about all the CEOs and Survival of the Richest, all the executives.
Yeah, No, you have a good point.
I don't know what exactly is the talent. You know, they say something like, you know, well, you know, anybody can flip hamburgers. Well, who can't be a vice president in charge of looking out the window? Who can't sit in the meeting and say, "That's right, JR. That's right, JR. That sounds great." Who can't do that?
Good.
I mean, there's nobody that can't do it. So, I don't like them shaming Americans. And the problem is numbers. I guess there's legally you draw a distinction between coming here legally and not legally, but none of these immigrants, none of these H-1B, they're not coming here necessarily for a better life the way immigrants did, you know, 120 years ago or whatever, when they're coming through Ellis Island. They're not doing that. These people, the government is recruiting them, and they're bringing them in for one purpose, not because we need people, you know, and we need.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing people to displace American workers. And the big thing now, this is what I said. One of the guys on Twitter, he made the same point I did, and Elon was responding to all these people. You know, he told one guy to F himself in the face. I mean,
that's not exactly government diplomatic language.
No,
I don't understand
no.
what's wrong with him. Is this part of his medical condition, his Asperger's or whatever the hell he has?
It really was showing up because I've never seen any world leader. He lost his cool. I mean, it was unbelievable. You could just see he was because they were again. Even though he's part of the great talent and the brain, you could see that these average people, these anonymous souls, were outwitting him and making him look incredibly stupid, and he couldn't stand that. So his response: what does he do? I'm not Laura Loomer's biggest fan, but she was sounding right on this issue, and he took her blue check mark away and threatened to deplatform her altogether. And this is a guy. That's supposedly Mr. Free Speech. His whole idea was criticizing it, and he's like just like the rest
you know
of the
that,
right.
That was just a political ruse, a position to stake out that would be popular. It's like what Trump did to get elected twice. He said all the right things. It's doing. It's just throwing us chum. It's a trick.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he could crank. Remember, his CEO is a Jew. He can crank this thing down anytime he wants. If the ADL says enough's enough, yep. Crank it down.
Well, he's I don't know if they're telling him that or not, but he's certainly doing that. But for him to say, and again, the guy that he responded to is a guy that doesn't have many more followers than I have on Twitter. So it's very possible that he might. I wish he would tell me to F myself in the face because my presence would probably grow on social media as long as he let me stay there. So, but I mean, for him,
no such thing as bad publicity. Remember, one of the smartest things any Jew ever said.
Exactly, he is like a teenage girl. If he's looking at that guy, he's getting thousands of replies. If he saw that guy's reply with the number of followers he had and got that triggered by it, I mean, what does that say about how insecure he is? But and he also after he told him that, he said, "Look, this is a hill I'm willing to die." He said, "I'm going to war on this." He said he will go to war. To retain H-1B.
And what rank does he have in the government?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, he's head of DOGE, Jeff. And so I think we can... And it's before
DOGE.
That, a couple days before that.
World-famous DOGE. All right. And have they found so far? Wasted, 2 million? Wasted? Something like that? Never mind the Pentagram budget. Never mind $250 billion to... possibly Ukraine, but certainly $250 billion plus to Ukraine and Israel. Never mind that. All the fighting over there is being paid for by you people who who live in the U.S. who are paying your taxes.
Yes. There's so many places that you, but even before this, I mean, it's not that I was kind of a Musk agnostic, kind of like I'm a Trump agnostic. We can say, okay, you know, he's got the right enemies. He's a really weird guy. I mean, there's no question about that. He's really, really weird and eccentric. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's evil. But, you know, I should have known the guy that dressed with the Baphomet costume with the upside down cross, you know, on the shirt and everything. And his mother, if you've seen his mother, who's odder than he is, you know, she can't have a picture taken without flashing some kind of satanic sign. She's always got her, you know, circle.
Oh, I don't know this. This is true. I'm sure it's true. You wouldn't say it. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
May Musk. M-A-Y-E.
Pretty grim.
Yeah. But there are rumors she's a practicing witch. She may be, but she certainly flashes signs like that. But, okay, maybe he just has a weird mom. But, I mean, when he's when he's saying that he's willing to go to war, you're willing to go to war to protect the H-1B visa program. And if you look back, no issue has Trump backtracked as much as in 2016. There's a great video out there. You can still find it where he, like most of his 2016 rhetoric, he was saying the same stuff you and I would say. He blasted it and said how disastrous it was. There was nothing that we get nothing out of it. And, you know, I was watching a video today and I just was impressed. It's the same kind of thing that I say when so many Americans on the left have been brainwashed by the woke nonsense and, all the terrible woke ideology. The ones on the right have been brainwashed to worship. And so they think there's so many of the people that follow Trump. They get excited. They think that by some of these oligarchs, when Elon Musk makes more money, exactly what does that do for any of us? That doesn't do anything for the average American. But they've got people on that side believing it, that somehow this is good for America. If a CEO makes more money, that's great. I mean, I've talked to enough of them, and I said, I don't understand that.
They view that as a thermometer. Taking our national economic temperature. That's good news.
Yeah.
Temperature's down,
98.6
or whatever.
Yeah. Even the stock market, I have some money in the stock market, so I have invested, not much, but I have a vested interest in it. And but 90% of the stock is owned by 10% of the people. It's just a fact. Look it up. So for that bottom 50% of Americans that I talk about all the time that has nothing, that make less than $27,000 a year, have less than 1% of the collective wealth altogether, the stock, they don't care whether the stock market goes up or down. They have no vested interest in it at all.
No.
So they really don't have any interest in capitalism. And again, it goes back to if this is the alternative to socialism, you're going to lose. Because it's just, you know, the socialism at least can dangle a carrot out there and say, hey, we'll give you, although apparently Musk supports universal basic income. But, you know, they can dangle that out there to you. They can dangle maybe some services, you know, to government. But what does capitalism offer? I mean, this brand of capitalism, crony capitalism, offers nothing. It offers this kind of endless more tax cuts for the wealthy and more corporate tax cuts and things that, again, that are not going to matter to average people.
No.
And then it's all about, this is what crony capitalism is in a nutshell. It's all about what can make them more money and hiring cheaper labor. So if you have a data center, and you can let go, and I saw it happen in the data centers I worked at. If you can let go of almost all the people and give them severance packages and hire their replacements that just happen to be from India at half the cost, you've saved 50% of your budget. And you've also, if you can make them temporary workers, you don't have to give them any benefits at all. So, of course, they're going to go for that. But, who is that a win for?
Right.
Other than the oligarchs, that's not a win for any workers at all. And it just, the Democrats still had a vestige of what they used to call the party of the little man, you know, back when I was a part of it. And if they had any of that, they would be making a huge issue of this. They're not, because of course they believe in it.
It's funny, isn't it? They've been awfully quiet, and it is interesting. Musk, one of the stories we'll be posting here shortly, Musk appears to soften his pro-foreign worker H-1B visa stance amid online spat. Spat.
Oh, it's a spat. If you look at you look at the comments, I mean, this is his platform.
And, I've been watching it.
They,
yeah. He's got a thing for Indian PhDs. He does.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. It's part of, look, I even though I've been called a racist before, because I talk up for white people just not being displaced, and I don't want the great replacement.
Anyone who would criticize Don, anyone who would criticize you or anyone else for simply speaking their mind, as long as you're not yelling fire in a theater, they have nothing to say. Right. It's a non-issue.
It is, but this is based on the same. The real racists are the people that push this kind of stuff. Just as in the reason why the NFL and the NBA, the entire sport. One day I'll write that book about sports, and I'll have to self-publish it because nobody's going to publish that. But I've got documentation. Believe me, it will be well sourced.
Yeah.
This is a myth that somebody, because they look a certain way, that they're a natural athlete. And that somehow they're better at these games. And so they push that in those sports, again, at the expense of whites. If you go to something like soccer, they use Hispanics. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. They're just naturally good. I coach soccer. My son was a great soccer player, a travel player. And I saw all this, and I saw the favoritism there, where they would look at these kids, much as my son played basketball, they would look at the black kids the same way. They would naturally think they were better when they weren't. And you can't even go against that. And it's the same thing in something like this.
That's an interesting comment. The blacks automatically are perceived as being better at basketball. Well, maybe they can run faster. Maybe they can jump a little higher, right? But it takes intelligence and brain power to be a truly successful athlete. You've got to be able to think and outthink your opponents. I'm sorry, a lot of them, white and black, just don't have it. So judging people by their color, on the basis of what you think they're going to do on the gridiron or on the hardwood, it's stupid. That's dumb.
No, it is. It is. But it's part of the generalizing that the left that I grew up on, we used to be against generalizations. You don't judge an entire group by the actions of a few. They're doing the same thing here. What they've done now is, in the public mind, they've caused the perception of people that Indians, by virtue of being from India, nowhere else, by virtue of being there, they have a magical, natural talent for IT. Uh-huh. It's the same kind of thing. And it's BS. And they don't say it because we know the Jewish power doesn't allow it to be questioned, but it's the same kind of process that if they were pressed, they would probably maybe eventually come up with, we're just, by virtue of being Jews, we have a natural ability to run television networks and film companies. And publishers, we just do.
Name any major business, any major power vector, center of influence, and you can start and stop right there.
Exactly. And so I am taking the anti-racist position. I'm saying that there's nothing about your skin color or your religion or if you're a Satanist or something like that, then I think that works against you, probably being able to do most jobs. But basically, you should be judged individually. Nobody's judged individually in America, and it's basically the same kind of thing with DEI in the end. That's just another form of discrimination, because they're saying, because you look a certain way, we're just going to prop you up, and you're going to be magical. You're going to just be better. I mean, apparently, according to these people, black women, just call any government agency and see who answers the phone. And black women apparently have just an innate ability to handle these lucrative government jobs that lots of people would love to have, because they sure have them. And it's basically, we should be judged.
We've been given the greatest example of how none of that stereotypical reflexive thinking, if that's what's going on, has been shattered forever. Look at the WNBA. All right. How many Negro females are there running and gunning and jumping? Lots and lots of them, right? And one girl who happens to be white comes along and shatters every single record and literally makes the league an honest venture. The league was a joke. Caitlin Clark, astonishing human being. Yeah.
No, it's an incredible story, and that's why it's very sad, because she bent the knee last week or the week before that, because they gave her the Time Magazine Athlete of the Year, and she capitulated. She did what we had all hoped she wouldn't do, and she hadn't been doing, she said she wanted to elevate black women, and she apologized for a white.
I couldn't
people.
Believe that. Pretty, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and she, hopefully, the WNBA will crash and burn because of that. Because if she loses her fans, there are no fans.
She sold out. So at least they made her sell out. I don't think the girl wanted to do that. That's not. No. You're not supposed to politicize sports like that. Come on.
And I don't know why, you know.
No, sickening.
I don't know what they do to these people that they feel they have to make these kinds of ridiculous comments. But that's a substrata of the woke nonsense now that black women in particular are. I mean, they'll say things like black women built this country. It's like, well, you know what? Again, there should be some white person somewhere saying, what the hell are you talking about? How did they build this country? What do you mean? Black women built this country? That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. They say it over and over again now. Black women built this country, and we owe so much to black women. What do we owe to black women? That's absolutely ridiculous, but there's not one white with balls that will say it. And that's not racist to say that. It's ridiculous to say that. And again, that's why we're in this culturally, why they're in the situation we're in. And that's why something like this, where somebody like Elon Musk, and it's all white people driving this. You know, this is Elon Musk, and well, Vivek's Indian, but there's plenty of whites there driving it. And, you know, obviously plenty of Jews too. But in terms of Elon Musk, he's pushing something like this. He can feel comfortable in doing that because as long as nobody can push for white, like nobody's out there lobbying for white running backs in the NFL. Nobody's going to do that, including least of all white, former white players. And that's this is, true. You know, if you're going to have a situation where you're going to talk race, that's why as long as they do it, it's for whatever limited platform I have, I'm going to talk up. I'm going to say the other side. I'm going to defend whites. Because if you're going to continue to racialize everything and you're going to say, you know, Indians are just naturally better at IT and Hispanics are naturally better at soccer and blacks are better at basketball and football and Asians are naturally better at math. I mean, all the stuff that you want to say, but you can't say what are whites naturally better at? Nothing. You can't say they're better at anything, even though they built Western civilization. You can't say that. And it's like, why can't I say that? Because I'll be canceled by other whites? I mean, it's insane. So I hope that MAGA continues. It was nice to see Steve Bannon and Candace Owens and a few people that are fighting. Because Trump, of course, is just, and I don't think anybody cares, but I mean, this is the timing of this. Was really unbelievable. And I comment on this. It's like, what are the odds that Vivek and Elon both, within a day of each other, are going to come out and make this really nasty swipe at American workers and say how stupid they are and how lazy they are. And they've been watching too many episodes of Friends.
Trump was bragging about all of his H-1Bs that he had.
Yeah. Yes, nice as a. And this, you go back and see what he said in 2016. He had it exactly right. And it's worse now than it was then. So this is the problem why I call him Trumpenstein. I call him the Trumpenstein Project because he's not because nobody could be, you know, you just look at some of the stuff he said is as good as anything. Any he had maybe not as articulate, but is as good as any American politician has ever said in my lifetime. But then you look at how he backtracks and then he flip-flops and he says the exact opposite. And his base doesn't acknowledge it.
He is so slippery. I'm sorry. The guy is not trustworthy. I don't know if he is. It's hard to judge him. He is so flippant about his positions. It just.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant at all. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say I want the dreamers to say. I didn't mean to say we were only going to try and get rid of the baddies, 1.3 million, and let the rest stay here. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah. You said it, Don.
But exactly, and this is what they're this position. I mean, because to stake out such a strong position like Musk did and Vivek did, this is slap in the face to the entire MAGA base. Because I guarantee you, there's not one half of 1% of the people, the 70 million or whatever that voted for Trump, that would agree with Musk and Ramaswamy's position on this.
You know, it's not MAGA anymore. It's MEGA. We're supporting MEGA in five wars.
Yeah,
five.
Yes, we are, and that's it. So that's
if you ask people on the street, Don, you and I went out with a camera, and I gave you the mic, and I'll take the pictures. And you ask people, is America supporting 5 wars right now? No, what are you talking about? They wouldn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. No idea.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Or actually,
right.
You want to add in Ukraine, there's 6. We can go on from there.
And there again, that's the one consistency about Trump, is that he's consistently pro-Israel. He never goes against them. To my knowledge, he never has. So
never will. They'll kill him.
No, that's
not going to happen.
Exactly. So that's where he doesn't flip-flop. But everything else is up for grabs. That's why I say when people say he's going to do this and this, that he's made even more promises this time. But look what happens. What is the timing of this? Less than a month before his inauguration to come out with these kind
three
of
weeks.
Inflammatory comments that divide. There's now a battle between the technocrats. And this is an interesting thing about Trump's. I just wrote about it on Substack. How he's gone, other than Marco Rubio, who's definitely fits into the kind of appointments he made in his first administration, when everybody was a never Trumper, was a swamp creature. This go around, he's been more interesting, and he's throwing some wild cards out there. And I think he's got a few genuine, hopefully good guys like RFK Jr. But he's got these technocrats. He's got obviously Elon Musk and Vivek. And he's got this guy, and that's what's the start of the whole thing was Laura Loomer talked about. I think he's an Indian guy. He's got an unpronounceable name, but Trump named him to a big position somewhere. And this guy voted for Kamala Harris less than a month ago, at one point was publicly supporting the impeachment of Trump. Now, and Laura Loomer very, reasonably pointed out, is like, why would you appoint somebody to a position that wanted you impeached? What does that say to the base? And again, that's what set Elon Musk and Vivek off, because this was a kind of a typical Trump, never Trumper thing, but with this guy is a technocrat, just like Musk is, and just like a couple of his other appointees are. And so there appears to be a battle now, and it's, people don't know about the, some of these things, like Trump wants to, Musk is talking about putting a chip in us. And the problem, this Neuralink chip that he's talking about, it can come with some very, attractive qualities. They're claiming that, that this chip, if it goes in there, it might cure blindness.
Well, they've only given it to one person that I know of, although I think we all know that behind the scenes they've tried it on others.
Right.
But we
right.
only have the one, and I don't know that this man is now in nirvana or if he's morbidly depressed sitting in a room somewhere contemplating what, no, who, what? Go ahead.
No, yeah, right. But what let's say if you're like Christopher Reeve or somebody, if you've been unable to move for 10 years or something like that or longer, and somebody holds that out to you, you have no other hope. You say, hey, we're going to do this. We think there's a good possibility you'll be able to walk again. I mean, who wouldn't take that? Who wouldn't take that? Yes, they're not going to tell you that the bad part is that we'll be able to track you forever, But so I can see people that are in that situation. I can see how do you tell them, no, you don't do that. It's dangerous. What do you mean? I want to be able to walk again. So that's the problem, finding something like that. I don't know. If that's the case, but
he'll never run out of volunteers. Never.
Yeah, no. And so this is human nature. And so
that's a godlike thing, to give somebody back the ability to walk or do whatever. I mean,
absolutely.
Musk must have a very high opinion of his vision of the future. Let's put it that way.
Musk coming, just inserting himself here kind of out of nowhere. I mean, Musk was this kind of figure that wasn't in the news all the time. I mean, people knew who he was, but
he loves
but
it.
Suddenly, he loves it. Now he's at the center of everything. He took over X, and he appeared to be the one guy that was standing up for free speech on these platforms. And so a lot of us said, okay, well, and he's, being attacked by the usual suspects. So, but he really took his mask off, and they said, anybody who hasn't, just go read the exchanges on Twitter, watch some of the videos that people have put out about it, and just see where this guy's coming from. I mean, he is to whatever extent he's, you know, this is not scripted. He appears to be about as thin-skinned as anybody I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody in his. He's the richest guy in the world, supposedly, and he's. What he told that guy to F himself in the face, and that he's going to war, you know, about this. That guy is he has a following a little, not much more than I do. He does not have a huge presence there. He does, and for Musk to go all the way down to that level and engage in a food fight with him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that shows how thin-skinned he is. So, you know, this is it's a shame because I liked a lot of things about Vivek, especially I was impressed with the way he talked. And I think I told you before that when my son and I were watching him when he was being interviewed by Alex Jones once, and he had a copy of my book, Hidden History, visible on the bookshelf behind him. So
who
I'm
did?
Thinking, how about
who
how
did?
Could,
Vivek, wait, who?
Vivek Ramas.
Oh,
Vivek
he did. Ramas, and it was his background. Vivek. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And so I said, "Wow. I mean, you know, I mean, how could I not at least be impressed with that? I mean, that had to draw my interest." And I said, "You know, I don't know how he even heard." But so, and he was saying a lot, and he was saying a lot of things white politicians wouldn't say. Hey, you know, I'm not going to play that game and all that. So I was impressed by a lot of what he did. But then you look into his background and you find out, you know, did he make most of his money by pumping and dumping an Alzheimer's cure that, you know, was a fraud?
It was a failed pharmaceutical that he bought up, and he renamed it, basically, and put it back out on the market with a lot of hype that was apparently lies and slight exaggerations here and there. And he got suckers to come in with money. And, you know, there's a sucker born every minute or less.
That's right. That's right. He's
another huckster. You sure he's not Jewish?
Well, who knows? I mean, I don't know. The president of Mexico is, so I guess it could be.
That's not all. Did you see the Al-Jawlani, the head of HTS that overthrew Syria's Assad?
No.
Right? He's a Jew.
Oh boy!
He's amazing. Jewish.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's just there.
There's your Israeli Mossad angle right there, with U.S. paying for everything. So Al-Jawlani is a Jew. Why aren't we really surprised?
Yeah, and we're not supposed to notice it or say anything about it. And that's
how dare you? How dare
you? Know, it's just. Yeah. But we have to. You know, I just hope that. I do think that more average people, anyway, I'm always emboldened by the comments I read online. There's a lot of people out there that get it to some degree, that understand how ridiculous it is. But the problem is the people that have the big platforms are scared, and they still won't. You got to stop being scared of being called anti-Semitic or called racist or xenophobic or.
No, and please don't hesitate to use the word Jew. They use the word goyim. They use the word white. They use all kinds of words. It's okay. It's God gave us the ability to think and to express ourselves however we want. And then we have to stand on that.
No, and if you can say it about other groups, then we know that there was a lot of criticism in the culture that wouldn't be allowed about Jews. About the Supreme Court, about being too Catholic. And that was the debate. Is it there are too many Catholics on the Supreme Court? Now, can you say there are too many Jews anywhere? No, of course not. You get in trouble. But the fact you get in trouble tells you something. Again, that's a curtailment of your free speech. Anything that curtails your free speech is a bad thing. And
should be opposed to the death by any presidential candidate in this country. The First Amendment, the Constitution is inviolate.
Right, exactly. And if it's a meritocracy, I like Thomas Jefferson.
See, I that's but that's racism now, isn't it? Right? You can't do that.
Yes. No, you can't. But if a meritocracy existed, I think because I am not a racist, So I don't believe that we should, like Martin Luther King, I think we should judge people on the content of their character. But
it
I don't go done.
It goes all the way back to elementary school when you get grades. Of course, grades are under the gun now, too. But if you do well, you get rewarded. You get a better mark. Your mark should reflect your input, your energy, your dedication to whatever the task is in school, academically. And you should be rewarded for that. But now that the communists want to take all that away.
And even something like that, where if you can have an unbiased, but we've seen that with IQ tests, or even the tests that you used to have to take. I don't know if you even have to take them anymore. You used to have to take some kind of test to get a government job, and they know, and even things like firefighters and police, and the spotlight.
Yeah, and it's by the way, it's a little side note. It is often said that police agencies do not want to hire cops over what the hell was it? Over 105.
Yeah. Yep.
Something like that. They want them down. They don't want them thinking too much.
Yeah, and what does that say? Wouldn't you want smarter cops? No. You don't want people questioning things. But they used to have something called race norming on all those tests. And what they would do is, and that's why you have such a disproportionate number of blacks in all these government positions. What they would do is, like, let's say you go there and you get an 85 on the test. And but you got a black candidate over here that gets a 70. On the test, they don't grade you alongside him. They grade you against all the white applicants. And if the average white score was 90, you didn't do so well. But if the average black score was 65, that guy did great, and he goes above you. And that's what race norming is. I think it's still happening. I mean, it must, because try calling any government agency line, and you're going to get a woman with a distinct Ebonics accent that answers the phone every time. And I feel pretty confident.
Is it really that bad? I believe you. I don't call, but yeah, I believe you.
Maybe it's just my luck when I call these places. I mean, I'm sure there's some, but
I can imagine if you looked at them, there would be a little overrepresentation here and there. Yes,
right. So because if you had a meritocracy and everybody just, what would happen is, and I think this is in sports too. I don't believe sports is a meritocracy. I played sports. I coached sports. That is a sports fan. I've seen it. It's not, and every conservative loves to think, no, it's not a meritocracy. I'm telling you, when I write that book about sports, I hope I can hunt down some of these great high school white athletes that'll talk. They're scared to talk, but you talk about how they were screwed
up. Well, you might have to just guarantee them anonymity and just use a different name initials. Because of the world we live in, they could be putting themselves in danger by simply speaking their truth. Yeah. So you can cover it.
But it's like everything else. The fans, just like the public at large, they've been so brainwashed, they don't even know what they're saying. It's just the meritocracy. Theoretically, if you're non-racist and you believe everybody's created equal and we all have potentially equal gifts, you would expect every industry and the government to pretty much reflect the population at large. So that means 2% Jews. That means 12-13% blacks, 18-19% Hispanics, 50-some% white. I don't know what the Asian is, but it should, and you shouldn't have to artificially, make it reflect that. That should be what happens in a meritocracy.
I agree.
We've never done that, not once. Once the civil rights movement happened, we went straight to affirmative action. We never tried any period of time where we went right from the back of the bus, to affirmative action.
So
I don't know how it would. I don't know how it would work if everybody's. But we've never done it, and this is just the Elon Musk thing and the H-1B visa workers. This is just the latest reflection, because it's obviously not a meritocracy to be bringing in people from. To think we have a way, I'm telling you, there's so many, I get incensed because the young people, I think we've given them a raw deal. We've created a horrible world for them, and they've become pretty much walking zombies, but a lot of that's our fault. But, I don't know how do you get motivated to go to a job where you're going to be making, whatever you're making is in the at least 50% of the cases, I've cited those stats about what people make, is not going to pay you enough to live independently anywhere. You're not going to be able to get an apartment, even an apartment, let alone buy a home. And there's no upward mobility. you know, when you go there, there's nowhere to work. There's nowhere to work at. Well, I'm going to work hard and do a great job, and the boss is going to promote me. Well, even if you get promoted, what do you get, another 50 cents an hour maybe, and those kind of promotions? It's not possible. And that's, and yet you'll see, you know, the 20%, the people that enter at that level for whatever mm-hmm. reason, they can't stop making money. I mean, I know people that, you know, from families and stuff, you know, so-and-so just got a $200,000 a year raise. I mean, that's a hell of a raise.
Wow.
Yes, it is. That's impossible.
Nobody merits that. Not that I can think
of. No, exactly. No, and that's why, you know, I don't care if they call me a socialist or not. Nobody's life is worth millions of times more than anyone else's. And that's because I believe in equality. I think everybody should just like.
Well, I think maybe the better way to say that is that we believe in the equality of opportunity, real opportunity. Now, if they don't have the merit to make it bloom for them and blossom, oh well,
no.
They fall by the wayside. We should exactly. not be afraid to give people an F in class or let them fail at business.
Right.
Shouldn't be any bailouts.
No,
you either do it or you don't.
You're exactly right. Yep, there's no question about that. But my point is that back in this when I was a little kid, and even up in at least in the 70s, every parent, every kid I knew, I didn't know any poor kids. I mean, I wasn't rich. I was like lower middle class. But everybody I knew, fathers worked at Montgomery Ward, Sears, gas stations. They didn't have great jobs. They didn't travel a lot for their job.
Right,
but
right.
They owned a house. They owned a house. They made enough money. They probably didn't go to college. But their mother stayed at home. They had as many kids as they wanted. We can't do that now. How did that work? How did that economy work? This is what we've lost. And we've always had people that are the unskilled labor, like they denigrate people by saying that. We've always had people that don't have the aptitude for college. And we used to have factories where they could go work, where they could learn an assembly line, and they had a strong union, and they lived great lives. And
end up paying $200 an hour for an electrician or a plumber, and you can't figure out that there are real options for people who don't necessarily want to go after a Nobel in physics. You become a plumber, you become a tradesman, you become a carpenter, you become an electrician, and you write your own ticket. You'll make so much money, it's not funny. Another business that makes a fortune is, people, believe it or not, tree trimmers. People that drop trees and cut them up and put them in the shredder and take them out. They charge now $4,000 to drop an 80-foot pine tree.
Yeah.
And cut it up.
Yeah.
This is incredible to me.
I'm not sure how much they pay the people that actually take down the trees, Jeff.
Not that much. No.
It's the person who owns the company. Yeah. So, but what are they, you know, what are the people paying the labor? Because that's the, you know, because what we did is we displaced all that unskilled labor. Because you had plumbers and electricians back then. And
I would call any of those people skilled, highly skilled, by the way. Good plumber, good electrician, those are skilled people.
And they were paid well back in the day. Adjusting for inflation, I think a lot of them aren't paid as well as they were back then. Some of them are, but there's more of a variation. It used to be that a lot of it has to do with the unions. Electricians used to have strong unions. I don't think any of them do anymore, but the people that couldn't do, not everybody can be an electrician or even a plumber, they just don't have the aptitude for it. But those people that they used to work in factories.
Hey, mechanics, auto repair, kinds of jobs out there that will never run out. You want a real job? If you like computers and you can do tech well, become a tech repairman who makes home calls. I guarantee you, you're going to make a fortune. $150 to come out to your house to look at your computer and tell you what's wrong with it. And then you can take it back to the shop sometimes and fix it for another $500, whatever. Those people make a lot of money, and everybody's got a computer now, and not everybody's computer savvy. Here, let's see. Musk. Musk launches his own Twitter page, bans critics of his push to expand Indian immigration. U.S. credit card defaults soar to crisis high. Did you hear about this in the news today? Nope. U.S. credit card defaults. That means they can't pay the bill. Soar to new crisis highs as inflation storm crushes the working poor. Is anyone talking about the working poor? Nope. Usury and the one group exploiting it. Who's the one group that uses usury all the time? You all know who they are. And then there's the war on food now. U.S., the government, is seizing millions and millions of pounds of food to increase the food crisis. That's exactly why they're doing it. I've never seen more foods being recalled in the last 3-4 months in my life than I'm seeing now. It's really nuts. So it just goes on and on, okay? It's not stopping. We're now paying for 6 wars that I can count on one hand. Well, I got an extra finger, you see, that we're paying for. 6 wars. How many Americans even know that? They don't know. They don't know anything. So in a way, I understand what Musk is saying when he says Americans are too stupid to do these very eclectic, very high-tech jobs. That may be true. They have universities in India now which specialize in nothing other than that. So they're teaching the people to fill those vacancies. And they'll come over here. They'll come over here.
Well, our schools ought to be teaching our people that if that's the case. And again, I just think, however, one thing that Americans are incredibly stupid, there's no doubt about it, but the MAGA people by themselves, those people are awake to at least to some degree. They know corruption is rife. They know something is wrong.
Well, they should go absolutely, they should go completely crazy when Trump starts to crush more and more of his promises, pledges, and vows. And he's doing that already.
Yeah, and I think that's why you're seeing the reaction already, because something like that strikes home because Trump has made a big thing, all the deportations on day one. Well, that this is in conflict with that where you want to bring all these people over, and your main boy over here, your boy Elon Musk, and Vivek, they're the ones pushing it. And, you know, Elon Musk is banning people who want to disagree with him about it, Mr. Free Speech, and he's saying he's going to go to war about it. So MAGA gets that. No matter how dumbed down Americans are, they get that because, you know, this Trump made immigration his hotbed issue. So something like this, they know that's wrong. MAGA people know, no, we don't need to be bringing people in to compete. We want better job opportunities for Americans. That's the whole idea of it. Is we don't need.
And then you turn that coin over, and what do you have on the other side? You have Gen Z, which generally, not all, many of them couldn't give a crap about learning work ethic, learning a skill. They don't think they're going to live very long, a lot of them. They actually don't. They're living at home. Yeah. They're washed up before they even got off the starting blocks. Yeah. They're done. I hate to say
No, it is. But again, it works to the mindset. And I think, again, that's been created by the desperate. They know things are hopeless. They look around and they see, and they know nothing's going to be the Social Security. None, they're not going to get any pension. Nothing's going to be there for them. They have no idea. They're getting, they're not getting married. They're not having kids.
Well, their wives will not be able to, not only will they not be able to fertilize their wives, but the wives are going to lose the babies. That's happening all the time. They can't carry to term, and if they do, what do you have? We won't know for 3, 4, 5 years to see how these kids mature and grow if they're not damaged from spike. We don't know. Anyway, we got to run late because of all these wonderful topics we're on, so we are late. Thank you, Don, very much for that. Happy New Year. Ha, ha, ha. We'll see what happens, huh? Jeez. All right. Good night, Don. Thank you. Mr. Donald Jeffries. All right. We will pause for a few and come right back.